You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If the blood-thinning drug Xarelto cause you serious bleeding problems, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. We are hoping to be joined by a special guest, Ken Mopedman from the Netherlands later on in this show, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I'd like it to, though. His cousin, Ken Busman.
Yes.
Third cousin, Ken Vanman. But nobody's like the original, Ken Mopedman.
This is true.
There was only one.
The Great Dane.
The Great Dane. He's taken over the title of the Duncan Dutchman from Rick Smits. It's on loan for Mopedman. 216-578-0850. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford. Of course, you can get into the mailbag later. We're using the hashtag AskCBD with us here today. And one question I got about the linebackers, because I know that you've watched this game, and we'll get into it later, but you watch this game, a clear shift. Armani Bryant, Nate Orchard lead the linebackers and snaps. Paul Kruger takes a bad back seat to this. Barkevious Mingo, only three defensive snaps. We saw more Tank Carter than Chris Kirksey. Mike Pettine explaining it today that it was a function of the personnel groups and what the game dictated. What does that mean?
What does it mean? It means, again, we're always a defense that likes to create a matchup, which means if we get a certain personnel from the offense, we would like the opportunity to match it with our personnel that we feel fit is most strongly suited to combat that offensive personnel. And then you get into the tendencies that I always talk about. And with the Baltimore Ravens down a few weapons, Crockett Gilmore, Steve Smith Jr., I'm sure a guy like Tank Carter got a lot of practice time banking on the fact that Justin Forsett and their ability to run the football was going to be a big part of what they do. Now, we limited that in a great way offensively in the first half, but Joe Flacco did his damage through the air, and we couldn't stop them. And then as the game went on, what you get when you have a guy like Tank Carter, you know, and he and I are buddies, you know, hadn't played a lot of defense in his career as a Brown. So you get into the second half. He talked about, you know, the great offensive line the Baltimore has, you know, Yanda, just getting up on them. They just start to wear on you. But then you get Kirksey in clear passing situations because he's the better cover guy. He's the guy with more experience doing it. And even if Craig Robertson had been healthy, Kirksey was always that guy coming in those pure passing down situations as he is the better cover guy. And so it's part of the chess match that Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill like to play defensively, trying to match up with who we have best suited for what they have on the field.
And I look at our outside linebackers this year. Here are the snaps in terms of overall passing snaps. 144 for Kruger, 102 for Bryant, 42 for Mingo, 53 for Orchard, 14 for Scott Solomon. On the season, Paul Kruger, according to Pro Football Focus, again, their grades are terrible, and Mopedman certainly would back that. Terrible. I don't know how they gave Josh McCown a negative grade, Aaron Rodgers a negative grade after his 5-touchdown performance. But Paul Kruger, 15 total pressures. He's actually leading the team. Armani Bryant, second with 8. Mingo, 1. Orchard, 1. Although his 1 came at a pretty darn critical time in that game against the Baltimore Ravens. Scott Solomon with 2. When you look at their percentage of pass rush, Paul Kruger, 81%. Armonte, 93%. Mingo, 55%, still dropping. Nate Orchard, 71.7%. So Kruger's down. He was around 97% last year. So that actually is a pretty significant change for him. But he, even though he hasn't finished the deal, he has gotten a good amount of pressure this year.
He has, and he's working. And pass rush and sacks in general come in waves, I feel. And you look at the Cleveland Browns, and thus far this season, it really kind of has. There was, you know, not a whole lot early against
the Jets.
There's
been one wave.
There's been one wave, right? So,
but it was a great wave.
It was a great wave.
Seas were angry that day.
But I meant, even if you look at a team with 22 sacks like the Denver Broncos, it's like, you know, they'll have one or two in a game, and then they'll have 4 in the next. And they'll have one or two in a game, and they'll have 5 in the next. You know, that's kind of how good teams do, because it all depends on how, and I know scared might be the wrong word, but how much emphasis and how scared the other teams are in regards to their plan to protect their passer. So leaving in an extra back, you know, chipping a guy on your way out into a route, which affects our pass defense as well, but that will limit your opportunities to purely rush the passer.
How many games were you in where you just knew, all right, they can't block us?
It very early, you go into games where you say they can't block us and you can go over because you're so confident, and they, again, overemphasize their plan to block us up and we'll get one or you'll get blanked. And what happens, I would say, by the end of the first quarter, if you have maybe have one sack, there are times where your confidence continues to rise, your plan going into the game is being executed through one quarter, that when you're close and you're you know that domino is about to fall. That means you're going to get that sack. And as I just mentioned, they come then in waves. You start dialing up different looks, you know, and I always tell you, use the ABCs. It's like, oh, we're almost getting home with A. You know, we finally got home with A. Now we're going to bring B. You know, then we'll go back to A. Then we'll go ABC. And you start bringing those different looks, and that's when you have an offense and some, or you're, you know, really eating out of your hand, because you're giving them, you know, your A and you're winning with A, but then you're able to bring B to, you know, to combat A. And then eventually you bring out C, you know, mid third quarter, early fourth quarter. And that's when you get those five and six sacks and it becomes real fun, to the point where a pass rusher or that defense makes it look really easy.
What is more effective in your mind? A guy who gets home, gets around the quarterback more often, or a guy who actually, when he gets close, finishes the deal? Like Armani Bryant, for example, this year has 8 total pressures on the season, but he's got the 4 sacks. Paul Kruger's got 15 pressures on the season, but only has 1 sack.
Well, you get paid to make sacks.
Yep.
You don't get paid for pressures. I mean, you get paid to be a playmaker in the National Football League, and I know that a pressure, while it is a good thing, you'd rather have some rather than none. But do you pay a receiver for being a threat, or do you pay him to make plays and have receptions? You know, that's the same. I mean, oh, yeah, look at, he's taking the double team. Do you pay Darrell Revis because the ball only gets thrown over his way, what, 15 times a game? Not even 6 times. He takes away half the field. So you pay him on his ability to do that. And defensively, that might be the only time that you might pay a guy like that who really doesn't have the 7 or 8 picks and predominantly all that great.
All right, in the interest of clock management, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will go...
We're 2 minutes early right now.
We will go around the league.
We're saving that 2 minutes.
We're saving it. You never know when you'll need it. We'll go around the league, and then we'll finish up with your calls and another foray into the mailbag. Again, you can tweet at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily, at Matt Wilhelm 35, at Matt Wilhelm 57. Use the hashtag AskCBD. We'll be back with more right after this.